Welcome to a special edition of Makeshift Stories. We decided to branch our series at episode 11 and have some fun exploring other plot lines. The other story is a result. It will be a series of short explorations into other possibilities. This does not replace our regular podcast, which will still come out in the last week of the month.
Makeshift Stories presents The Other Story, a somewhat random collection of worlds, characters, and universes. Today's episode, Lukey.
Lukey sat smugly in the largest chair on the cramped flight deck. He'd always wanted to do this, be the boss, that is. He was born for the role, the only problem was that no one else knew it. He'd have to change that soon. Having been the technical site facilitator, as a monogram on his jumpsuit indicated, which really meant he swept the floors, opportunity didn't often come his way, but he had taken this one.
Captain's log. Date, today.
Lukey authoritatively bellowed into the air.
After escaping the jaws of death.
Lukey!
Fritz screamed.
Give it a break!
Zara sighed.
Come on, Lukey. Give it up. We don't have a captain's log, and who says you're the captain anyway?
Lukey looked hurt. He wasn't going to give it an inch.
I found the ship and hit the big launch button, so I'm the captain. And you two will just have to get used to it. I say, let's go put the fear into some technologically backward world. Maybe invade, proclaim ourselves rulers.
Lukey's two companions groaned and went back to figuring out the strange instruments arrayed around them. Zara jumped as one of the controls shocked her when she touched it.
We haven't even figured out how to steer this thing, so dream on, Lukey. Maybe we'll eventually just crash into something that you can invade. Until then, shut up and don't touch anything.
2 days earlier, the three Sedali had been standing in a cavern on Cerez, waiting while the engineers and scientists prepared the trivial wormhole. Out of force of habit, Lukey was sweeping up and noticed a large tarp in the corner of the chamber. Curiosity got the better of him, and when no one was looking, he peeked underneath. To his utter amazement, he found a complete starship. He turned and yelled at the technicians.
Hey, we don't need to blow the whole place up. There's a starship over here.
With all the noise, the techs heard. Hey, mumble. The start place is here. Being only a technical site facilitator, and not a smart one at that, the engineers and techs shrugged. Hey, what does a guy like that know about quantum physics anyways, they thought, and went back to work preparing to implode the planet. Undaunted, Lukey grabbed the two closest engineers and pushed them under the tarp and into the ship. On his way through the entrance hatch, Lukey tripped, fell, and landed on a control panel. The ship immediately powered up, closing the hatch and trapping its three occupants. Despite the yelling and screaming, no one outside heard. Then, with a low rumble, the implosion started, and the wormhole opened. Their colleagues immediately jumped through. The wormhole continued to grow, sucking the cavern and its contents into it, until the ship finally lifted off. It hung momentarily in midair above the hungry void. Then, as the shockwaves ripped the surface of Cerez apart, it shot out into space.
Did you see that?
Lukey pointed out the viewport.
What, a billboard or something that'll tell us where we're going?
Zara mumbled, keeping her eyes on a control panel that was flashing like a slot machine.
Exactly. It says slow down. You've arrived. It's spray painted on that large black object that's right in front of us.
Zara, have you figured out how to turn yet?
Yelled Fritz.
Brace for impact,
boomed Lukey.
I always wanted to say that, but I guess my term as captain's going to be a short one.
They tensed and closed their eyes, helplessly waiting for the collision. Seconds passed, then minutes, but nothing happened.
Docking sequence activated.
Opening his eyes and looking up, Lukey noticed that outside, through the viewport, the stars had gone. They had been replaced by dark metal walls.
Hey, we've landed. Oops, I mean I saved us again.
No, you didn't.
A disembodied mechanical voice proclaimed.
I did.
Who said that?
Fritz whispered as he looked questioningly around the small flight deck. Everyone shook their heads. The voice was coming from outside the ship.
I was sent from Orf to find the missing advanced administration team. Welcome aboard. If this is your first trip on a deep space cruiser, we'd recommend that you read the safety brochure available on the view screen as you exit your craft. Please familiarize yourselves with the safety features of this B4W heavy cruiser. Please exit now through your main hatch so more members of your group can use the shuttle.
Lukey hesitated, then looking anxiously at the others, he addressed the voice.
This is it. There are no others.
I see. An unfortunate accident, no doubt. A somewhat unexpected and tragic outcome to the rescue mission, particularly the amount of paperwork that will be required to explain it. However, that will be yours to do, not mine. It will, however, save us a lot of fuel, so all is not bad. Which one of you is Amos?
Lukey stood, but the others glared angrily at him.
Good. I'll have all the prerequisite forms waiting for you, sir. Now, you and your surviving colleagues must exit so we can proceed. Time is money, after all.
Oh, spare us the stupid platitudes.
Zara angrily grumbled.
Great. Our brainless self-proclaimed leader is bravely taking us where no Sodality should ever go. Right into the heart of the Triffle bureaucracy. Hey, Captain. I hope you like filling out forms.
Lukey stuck his tongue out at Zara, then looked through the portal and noted.
Where is the welcoming party? You'd think they'd at least send a small group of dignitaries and a red carpet for the intrepid advanced administration team leader.
Lukey winked at his companions and whispered,
Play along. This could be a good gig. You'll be my senior advisors.
Fritz and Zara made faces but said nothing. Zara leaned over to Fritz.
Fritz, we'll have to deal with this egotistic jerk later. But for now, I think he's right. We should play along.
When you're done whispering your takeover plans, I need you to get going.
Lukey hesitated as he hit the exit button to crack open the hatch.
But like I said, where is everyone?
There is no one else. This is an automated mission. The overtime costs involved in sending a crew was deemed too expensive.
What? They think our lives aren't worth more than a few payroll cycles?
Exactly.
The mechanical voice sounded almost smug.
If you had thoroughly read your employment contract, you would know that even this automated mission is considered an extreme measure, so be glad we came. And, by the way, this is a transportation-only deal. All other in-flight expenses, such as food, will be deducted from your next paycheck. Also, to keep costs down, they didn't want to spend the money for a new ship and AI. So I'm a discount refurb, and 90% functional.
What 10%'s not working?
The return navigation system malfunctioned as soon as the 1 month warranty had expired. Not unexpected, you know. But don't worry, Amos. Your service record shows that you're an expert pilot and astro-navigator. Should be child's play for you to pilot this ship back.
Everyone's hearts sank.
We're damned.
Fritz whispered to Zara.
And, if we're, not who we say we are?
No problem. The internal laser sanitizing system will incinerate any unwanted organic material, alive or not. We can't afford unauthorized freeloading organisms, you know. No use wasting fuel on hitchhikers. Please confirm that you are talking about a theoretical situation.
Don't pay any attention to Fritz. He's a bit off balance from the trauma he suffered on Ceres. Now, can you direct us to the bridge?
Lukey glared threateningly at Fritz, drawing his index finger quickly across his throat.
And what's your name, AI?
You can call me Ada. Advanced Digital Avatar, a Mark III at that. I don't know why they're wasting me on such a trivial mission. Now, Director Amos, what are your orders? Oh, to get to our so-called bridge. Proceed straight through the launch bay exit. Turn right and follow the signs. You can't miss it.
The ship was indeed a refurb, and one that hadn't been entirely completed. Unhooked cables and faceplates lay strewn on the floors. Conduits and half-assembled information terminals lined the walls. Looking at the mess, Fritz joked.
Hey, at least it looks like the water cooler's working.
The cost of repairing the water cooler on Deck B and the credit-operated popcorn machine on Deck C was inside the mission budget, but repairing the internal sensor grid was not. So the mission engineers fixed the water cooler and the popcorn machine.
When they found the bridge, it wasn't in any better condition, but Ada assured them that although it was a no-frills mission, all essential equipment worked.
Hey, there's no chairs,
Fritz pointed out.
And what are those large balls for?
We got a good deal on fitness balls. You sit on them. They're your chairs. Great for the lower back. It was all the rage a few years ago.
Lukey's attention drifted away to a panel called Tactical.
Does it have any weapons?
The standard allotment. Some of them even work. More for show than anything else. But enough to level a small city.
A huge smile grew across Lukey's face as he excitedly rubbed his hands.
So, tell me, Ada, where is the nearest defenseless, primitive planet? David and I would like to thank you for listening to the first installment of The Other Story. We're going to try and put out an episode every few weeks, or as we get ideas. The opening royalty-free music, Mars, from the Planet Suite, came from premiumbeat.com. For more program notes, please go to our website at makeshiftstories.com.